To God be the glory. For the things that He has done. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the power. And thine is the glory. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. We thank you, Lord, because all riches and honor and everything comes from you, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, O Lord, is power, and in thy hand is might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Thank you, praise him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day again to everybody. We are so glad that the Lord has blessed us with many, many precious spirit-filled women. And we just praise the Lord. And we are happy to be back. And of course, as you know, Pastor Roland Akimo and myself were in the Philippines. And he's not here today because he has to minister at another local church here in town. And but I want to give praise to the Lord this morning. I have a few psalms that I'm going to read. So if you have your Bible, I want you to get them. I have a number of psalms. I'm just going to read one or few verses in each of these psalms just to exalt the name of the Lord. And I am going to give a testimony of all the things that the Lord did. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 1, that there were in Antioch prophets and teachers and so forth like that. And one day as they ministered and prayed and fasted to the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake and said, "Separate unto me Paul and Silas for the work that I have for them." And you know, so they went off and did some things and so forth, and they came back in Acts chapter 14 and verses 26 through 28. They came back, they gave testimony, the glory of God. Also in Acts 15 verses 3 to 4 and verse 12, they came back and gave testimony of all of the things that God did, you know, as they went on those mission trips and so forth. So we will be giving some testimonies of that this morning. But first, I want to start here with praise unto the Lord. Amen? You got your Bibles? Let's start at Psalm 9. I'm going to read a few verses, and I want you to read along with me. I will tell you the psalm that I'm reading and the verses that I'm reading. That way you can read along with me and just praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to read Psalm 9, verses 1 and 11. Now that's 1 and 11. So I'm reading two verses out of Psalm 9, verses 1 and 11. Everybody there? All right, let's read that together. Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. That's what we're going to be doing this morning. And verse 11, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. How many of you say amen to that? Praise God. That's what we're going to do this morning. Psalm 18 and verse 46. Psalm 18 and verse 46. It says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock," if you have it, read with me, "and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Let's read it again. "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Amen? So we're going to give him the praise. We're going to give him the glory that is due unto his name. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31 verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, if you have it, read along with me, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And I'm going to bring you a report of all of his greatness that he did before the people, you know, in the places that we went. And so we're going to give the praise to the name of the Lord. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Praise God. So I'm going to make my boast in the Lord today concerning all of the things that he has done, and the humble will surely be glad. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Psalm 40 and verse 5. This verse encapsulates the entire testimony of the things that we're going to do today, you know, and so forth. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The goodness of the Lord and all his marvelous works are more than can be numbered. But we're going to try to bring a testimony this morning of all the mighty things that the Lord did while we were in the Philippines. Psalm 57. I'm going to read verse 5 and then verses 10 and 11. Psalm 57, I will read verse 5 and then verses 10 and 11. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Verse 10 and 11. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Psalm 72 and verses 18 and 19. Psalm 72 verses 18 and 19. We are just giving praise and glory to God. Psalm 72 verses 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes, blessed be his glory forever. And blessed be his name forever and ever. Praise God. Psalm 89 and verse 1. Psalm 89 verse 1. You have to turn quickly to these psalms as I go, because I've got many of them to read before I give the testimony. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 95, verses 1 through 4. And then verse 6. Psalm 95 verses 1 through 4. And then verse 6. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are all the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. And verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. He said, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Oh, the Lord is good this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 96, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So this morning, we are going to declare his wonders among the people after we finish reading the Psalms. Psalm 98, verses 1 to 2 and verse 4. Psalm 98, 1, 2 and 4. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord had made known his salvation, his righteousness, as he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. And that's what he did in the Philippines, as you'll hear in a few minutes. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Amen.
Yes.
Psalm 99, verses 1 to 3 and verse 9. Psalm 99, verses 1 to 3 and verse 9. Read along with me. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is above all the people. Oh, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Now we read verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Praise ye the Lord. And then we will read the whole of Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Oh my. The Lord, is good, and his endureth forever. His truth endureth to all generations. Everybody say, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and ever. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 and verse 17. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 and verse 17. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who granted me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Oh my, praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Say unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. And we are going to be doing just that in a few minutes. Amen? We are going to declare all his wonderful works among the congregation of the saints this morning. Psalm 107, verses 15 and 16. Psalm 107, verses 15 and 16. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass, and he has cut the bars of iron in sunder. And he did set all the captives free in those meetings. And you are going to hear about them, hear about all of that in a few minutes. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Psalm 117. We read the whole psalm. It's only two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And we read the next Psalm, 118, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. And let all the congregation now say that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Psalm 135, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 135, verses 1, 2, and 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Amen. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. And all the wonders that the Lord did that we are going to declare today, he alone did them all. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Amen. Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Psalm 147 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Amen. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 11 through 14. 148, 1 through 5, and then 11 through 14. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all the angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Verses 11 through 14. Kings of the earth, and all people, princes, and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 149, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 149, 1 through 4. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And that's exactly what he did in the Philippines. And we will tell you all about it in a few minutes. Psalm 150. We read the whole psalm, and I want everybody to stand with me as we read this psalm. Let's stand up and let's read. This is the last of the psalms that we'll be reading. Read it with me. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's say it again. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. All of those psalms that we read just to exalt the name of the Lord. And the Bible says in many of those psalms that we read, it said, declare his doings, his marvelous works among the people. It says here in this last psalm that we just read, praise him for his mighty acts. And praise him according to his excellent greatness. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for all that he has done. Now, as you all know, we went to the Philippines, you know, we've been there and we just came back this last week. And the testimony goes back many, many months ago when we first started this ministry over a couple of years or so ago. You know, we used to go to the, we had a hospital ministry that we did, and we used to go there every weekend and so forth like that. And then one Sunday, I believe it was Brother Peter and myself that went there, and normally when we get there, we just go into the chaplain's office there at Paradise Valley Hospital, and then we would sit down, we would pray for a few minutes, and then we would then go about our business. And they already showed us how to do it. We always went to the emergency room first, and then we went to the first floor, and then to the second floor, and the third floor, in that succession like that. That's how we did it every single week. We never changed it. We just followed the routine, because that's how they showed us to do it. And I came in there this morning, and Brother Peter was already sitting in the chaplain's office, and when I got in there after we prayed, I said to him, we're not going to the emergency room this morning. We're not going to the first floor. We're not going to the second floor. We're going straight to the third floor. and he looked at me, and he said, all right, and I said, well, that's what we're going to do. So we just went straight to the third floor. We got out of the elevator, and we, as soon as you get out of the elevator, you're right at the nurse's station. And as soon as we got out of the elevator, one of the nurses jumped up and said, thank God you guys are here. They need you right now in room 317. How many of you say praise the Lord? I looked at Rabina and I said, that's why the Holy Ghost said, go straight to the third floor. And we went straight to that room 317. And there was a young woman laying on the bed right there. She was a cancer patient. Her name was Jaira, like in Jairi. And she's from the Philippines. And listen to this. And she had tubes sticking all over her body. Tubes everywhere. I've never seen anything like it. She was young woman, but she'd been through all kinds of stuff. And we didn't know at the time that she was a Christian, so we began to minister to her. And we found out she was a Christian. Her name was Jaira, like Jehovah Jaira, And then we began to talk to her. And then when we prayed for her after ministering to her, and then we said, "You believe the Lord can do this?" And she said, "Yes, I believe." And I never seen anybody in a condition like that. I had so much joy, her heart was just full of joy. So we prayed for her, and minister to her, and then glory of God came upon her as we were praying. And then when we finished, of course she said she felt a lot better and everything. And all the time that we visited the hospital, I had never gone. I only went on Sundays, never go during the week because of my schedule and so forth. But the next day, I decided to go just because of this young lady, first time that I ever went there on a Monday or whatever, just to go and see her and so forth. And I went back to see her, and then I got there and I said, "My goodness, what happened to you?" She was sitting up straight in her bed. There was no tubes on her body, she had such a presence and a glory around her. How many of you say praise the Lord? I said, my. And she began to give a testimony and all of that. Okay, well, anyway, that's how this whole thing started. Now, you say, how's that connected? Well, this girl was from the Philippines. And many years later, several months later, I was wondering, what in the world ever happened to this girl? She told me one time that she was going to go back to the Philippines and so forth. And I was wondering, I said, Lord, you know, what ever happened to this young lady and so forth? You know, I sure would like to go to the Philippines one day. I don't know if I'll run into her or anything, but I sure would like to go there. And anyway, I didn't think any more about it. And then after that, you know, I had her card in my, you know, my pack of business cards. And one day I was looking for somebody else's phone number, not even hers. And I was stumbling through the card. And then I saw her card. And I said, wow, Jaira, where in the world is she now? And I kind of thought of her for a minute. And I prayed in my mind. I said, Lord, you know, wow, you know, wouldn't it be nice to just go to the Philippines? I don't know. I just kind of thought about it for a minute. It wasn't really very serious prayer. Just kind of thought about it, you know. And then, you know, I just left it like that and then went on about my business. And 2 days later, barely 2 days later, I got an email from the Philippines for the first time that said, come over and help us. Praise the Lord. Now, it wasn't from the girl or anything. I just said all of that to show the connection, because the Lord put the desire in my heart, you know, to go there because of the connection with that girl. But the email wasn't from her at all. It was from somebody I knew from nowhere. I didn't even know this person. It was a pastor in a local church somewhere in the villages deep inside of the Philippines. And he said, you know, he'd been to our website and all of that, and you know, he said the Lord moved on his heart to contact me and so forth. So he sent an email and asked us to come over and help us. Now, this was several months ago. I don't even know how long it's been that we've been on this. And so I sent him back an email and so forth. And after a while, you know, we talked back and forth on emails, exchange and all that. Never knew him. Never met him before. And finally, we decided, prayed about it and so forth like that. We decided that we're going to go down to the Philippines. And because the Holy Ghost said, go ahead and do it. So we prayed and we started believing God for it and said, well, we're going to go over there. And as time went on, you know, we announced here in the church and most people finally knew about it. And when we went there, I believe we left April 24th or so. And I'm going to get into the testimonies now of all the things that the Lord did. And I have a letter, an email that I received last week from the local pastor, the guy who originally asked us to come. I'm going to read this email to the church because it just says everything. I'm going to read it to the church, but I'm going to give a few testimonies before I read that email that he sent. Now, of course, every night, and we had the event were twofold. We had, of course, the crusade, you know, the every night, you know, soul winning and so forth like that, and deliverance meetings. And then we had a convention with the pastors and worship leaders and so forth that we were going to impart, you know, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and some of this anointing that we received all over the years, you know, and we're going to do that. So it was twofold, and we're just going back to back, morning through night and all of that, and we'd have all the convention in the morning and evening, afternoon, and then we'd go home and rest a little bit and come for the crusade in the evening. And we're just going like that. And every night, this is the greatest part of the testimony. Yes. Every single night in those crusades, yes. And I was emailing, you know, I was sending emails every time I got a few minutes. I would, you know, go to a place where I could get a Wi-Fi connection, and I had my laptop, and I would just email, you know, some of the brethren here for all the things. Every single night, in fact, the first night that we were there, you know, we just had so many miracles. In fact, the Holy Spirit is telling me to read that letter right now. So I'm going to read it right now. I thought I was going to read it later, but I'm just going to read it right now. It says, this is from, his name is Pastor Joel, and let me just read this right now. It's an email, and I printed it out. Dear Pastor Yato, greetings to all the now. These people don't speak English as their first language, so, and I'm going to read the email the way he wrote it, so if some of it sounds funny, don't worry about it. Greetings to all the GMI family and congregations, and to Pastor Roland. It is our honor and pleasure having you here in the Philippines for a week or so, and we really, really feel God's invasion in the crusade and conference. By the way, Pastor Yato and Pastor Roland, your visit here is a very, very great blessing for me, my family, and all pastors, worship leaders, workers, who really, really receive the Holy Ghost move. I mean, the great move of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And he says, hallelujah. In the first night of the crusade. Now, he's telling the story. So, I just read it to you. That way, you know, you hear it straight from him. In the first night of the crusade, more than 500 people attended and received the healing and salvation and deliverance. In fact, one of the young lady, and I remember this one, one young lady received the healing from the breast cancer that she suffered from her sickness for 5 years. And she was groaning for the pain from her left side and night and day. You know, now, I was going to bring the video clips, and I've been still working on them, and the video person that we hired over there, you know, he didn't put it together the way I wanted it. So, you know, I wanted to separate the preaching from the miracles so I could just show. I didn't want to come here and have to flip through all of the preaching. I wanted to show the clips. So, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge for me to get that together. But I am still working on it. And when I get it, I will show it. And this lady was on one of those clips. What had happened was she had breast cancer and had had her two breasts removed. And she was in the prayer line the first night. And she was in constant pain. I mean, agonizing pain night and day from 5 years. She never had one time that it ceased. Not one time that the pain, the agonizing pain still, you know, stopped in her breasts, you know, in her chest. And she had both lumps, I mean, both breasts removed as a result of the cancer. And she was prayed for that night. And we continue to pray for the other people and so forth. And all of a sudden, she started to scream from the back, you know, cause after she, you know, she was prayed for, she went, you know, and then we prayed for the others and so forth like that. She started to scream, you know, and somebody, you know, some of the ushers began to bring her. And I said, well, she, you know, because one of the things that we had told the people, I had, you know, said to them, I said, you know, I had explained to them there's a difference between coming for prayer and coming for healing, you know. And I said to people that, you know, if anybody wants to come for prayer, well, I mean, that's their business. But, you know, I don't want to pray for anybody. The Bible says, when you go, heal the sick,
hallelujah,
cleanse the lepers,
hallelujah,
and raise the dead.
Hallelujah.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, that's what we're going to. But if you want to come for prayer, that's your business. We'll pray for you and so forth. But if you want to come for your healing, then we'll do that too, you know. And we said, you know, the power of the Lord is present to heal and so forth. And we said that every night. And so, we thought the people understood the difference between just coming for prayer, because we didn't want people to come for prayer today and come for prayer tomorrow and come for prayer the next day and so forth. Just come and get your healing. You know, that's, you know. So I said, well, you know, so when she was crying and screaming, you know, and they were bringing her, I said, we already prayed for her. What does she want again? You know. So, and I didn't know, you know, she was speaking in their language and so forth. I think it's called Bisaya or something like that. And I said, what is she talking about? She want more prayer? We already prayed for her. You know, I believe the Lord already healed her. And she said, no. She doesn't want prayer. She wants to give a testimony.
Hallelujah.
You know. I said, well, you know. So she goes off the stage, and I have the clip on this one. Eventually I'll show it. So she goes off the stage, and she begins to scream and shout. And I said, okay, what's she saying? You know, because I didn't know what she was saying. So the interpreter said, well, you know, he started to interpret what she was saying. And she said, for 5 years, since she had both breasts removed due to cancer, that she had never stopped having this constant, terrible pain in her chest. Night and day, she had been like that for 5 years. But instantly,
hallelujah,
after the prayer, and she went away, and she noticed that the pain was gone.
Hallelujah.
5 years, she had never stopped.
Hallelujah.
And so she started to scream and jump up and down.
Hallelujah.
And she knew that she was healed. Praise the Lord! And I said to her, I said, you believe the Lord to make two new breasts in there? Amen. Sure, he is a great creator.
Hallelujah.
Don't put anything past the Lord. You know, I didn't put anything past the Lord in these meetings. In fact, I don't have the time to tell you all the things to be. And I believe next time I see that young lady, she's going to have two new breasts. It's going to be better than the one they make in Hollywood, I tell you. It's not going to be Hollywood version. It's going to be from Jesus. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So that was the testimony. And let me go back to reading the letter. And, you know, so she was, you know, and so, you know, that's what she said, you know, in that letter. So let me go back to reading the letter, you know, and so forth. And the young girl cries and giving thanks that night that she began to testify among the people that, you know, that she was healed on the spot and so forth. God instantly healed her sickness. Not only this young lady received healing, but those people who suffered, you know, from goiter or paralyzed, or back pain and so forth, Did you remember Pastor Yato, the young boy who was 12 years old? His two eyes were blurred and could not able to read far sight. But after you prayed for him, he could read and clearly in the far sight. Now, I remember this young boy. He was 12 years old. And we're standing in line and he came. And I just had so much compassion. It's a young boy, you know, and he said he couldn't see. I said, what do you mean you can't see? You're only 12 years old. And I asked him, I said, do you wear glasses? He said, well, yeah. I said, where are they? He said, well, I left them at home. You know, now the young, most of the young people, some of them can speak English. The others, you know, sometimes they could, and sometimes we went through an interpreter. I always had an interpreter there by my side. And I said, you know, so they had this big banner, you know, similar to some of these posters that we had there. They made a big banner in the gym that we were using and putting, you know, and we were standing, you know, like about 40-something feet away from that banner. And so I asked the young man, I said, can you see the sign up there? And he said, yes. You know, so I said, well, read what you can see. And he, you know, he couldn't see this thing. You know, he saw the big letters and couldn't see anything else. And I said, well, you know, you believe the Lord can heal your eyes? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's great. You know, and I said, you know, I just touched his eyes, said a few words. We didn't pray any long prayer in any of those things because the Lord already said, he that seeth in secret will reward you openly. I mean, we say amen. We already did a lot of prayers before we went. I guarantee you that. So, you know, we just, you know. And then the next thing I know, he began to say, wow, you know, I can read it. I can read it. You know, I began to read all the things that he couldn't read. Praise the Lord. 12-year-old boy. So I remember that one, you know. And he said, so he can read all of that. And the other one that was paralyzed, half of his body and, you know, had been dead, he said. And during that night, He was able to carry the chair after praying because God instantly healed his left body, you know. And I think I remember this. I think Pastor Roland prayed for this particular person. I think I remember that case. He was paralyzed. You know, what we were doing is every night he would preach or I would preach or whatever, and we'd both minister to the sick. And then, you know, because lines, long lines, and we wanted to just minister to everybody, you know. And then I remember him, he was paralyzed. He said he had been paralyzed. He couldn't move, you know, one side of him. He never could for about 6 or 7 years. And then that night, the Lord healed him instantly. And he was able to move up and down. Praise the Lord. Now, he said also, he said, that night, hundreds of people received deliverance, healing, and the best part, salvation. Praise ye the Lord. You know, the Lord, he sent us to the villages, you know. We have some noted evangelists and TV personnel that have gone to places like Manila in the Philippines, you know, big city. But they've never been to these villages. In fact, Pastor Joel, he told us, he said, well, you know, I said, when was the last time you had anything done in this city? He said, well, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe 9-10 years ago, you know. So the village was ripe for the picking. Bible said the harvest is ripe. So we went into the villages, and in fact, I'm going to tell you another testimony where one whole village, almost everybody in that village came out and gave their lives to the Lord. You know, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But the major part of these testimonies were just the salvation. Every night, we had people just strip out after we made a call for salvation, and they just gave their lives to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something else at the end of this as a result of all of that. Now, let me keep reading this. On the second night, many people are coming and experiencing the creative power of the Holy Ghost. Now, like I said, I'm just reading the way he wrote it. Over hundreds of people going to the crusade received the healing from their sickness. One of the testimony was the wheelchair person. He was on wheelchair almost 8 years. I think I remember a case similar to that right here in this church last August. And he praised the Lord and thanked the Lord. After you ministered to him, he could walk a little bit without his wheelchair. And he began to praise the Lord for the mighty deeds in his life, that he could be able to walk even a single step. He had, you know, he had never walked at all for 8 years. And then he said, he praised God, hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So the wheelchair person was healed. And he said, there are also people suffered from ulcer and other sicknesses. And after you minister to them, they got their healing and they testified that God is a miraculous God in their life. Now, one thing I didn't know, one night, you know, there were so many cases of ulcers and goiters and so forth like that. You know, and instantly the Lord was healing many of them. So finally, you know, one young boy stood in front of me and he said he had ulcer. I said, how old are you? And he said, I don't know if he said 12 or 13. And, you know, it's like the bowels of compassion in my heart just swelled up. And I said, so I asked the guy who was interpreting, I said, why is it so many people here have ulcers? Because, you know, you pray for about 5 or 6 people, about 4, you know, if you go minister to 10 of them, about 5 or 6 or 7 of them would have ulcers and goiters. And then they would have problems in their legs. They were just same kind of sickness and disease all over the place. And I said, what is the reason? So he asked the young man what his problem was, and he told me, and boy, you know, I was fighting to hold the tears back. He said, these people, they have all these ulcers because they have no food. Are you still with me? They don't have food. And sometimes when they eat, they don't eat the balanced diet. Because they don't have food. They just eat white rice or whatever. Nothing else to go with that. You know, and anyway, we prayed for the boy. You know, I ministered to him. I said, you know, and then, you know, instantly he began to feel better. Now, one of the things, how we know that these things are so, is because every time I would ask the interpreter, and I would say, ask him if he's feeling any pain right now. And he'd say, yes, I have this sharp pain in my stomach. And I'll say, well, you know, after we minister to you and the pain is gone, that's the way you'll know that the Lord has healed you. You know, because you have to kind of explain it. Because you can't see inside of the person. I mean, if you understand what I'm talking about. When you have ulcer, you can't see inside. So I said to him, I said, you know, after we pray for you and the pain is gone, then you'll know the Lord has healed you. He said, yes. And then we just touched him. I just touched him like that and I just said a few words. You know, commanded the evil spirit out. And then he said, so wow, you know, the pain is gone. He jumped up and down, you know, praise the Lord. We had many, many cases like that. So that's the one that he mentioned here. Now let me go back here again and finish reading this. And it is a great miracle happened during that night because, now there was a, you know, here's what he said. He said there was a great miracle happened that night because there was a gay person who repented and received salvation and is now willing to serve the Lord with all his life. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Oh yes. And in fact, Pastor Joel told me that he met this person who was gay and, you know, and we, you know, and he met him the next day or so in a restaurant or cafeteria where they were having breakfast. And the guy, he was told him, you know, that, he said, oh, I was in a meeting. He recognized him and said, oh, you know, I was in the crusade yesterday. And said, oh, yeah. And he told him openly, he said, I was gay, but I repented and the Lord saved me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. The Lord loves those people too. You know? And, you know, and he'll, you know, he'll save them and he'll deliver them from that. You know, that's something else that the devil corrupted. You know, the thing that God made in the beginning. So, you know, God, you know, he can deliver people from that too. Praise God. Now, on the third night, many people also experienced the marvelous works of the Holy Ghost. And one of the testimony that night was the old lady who suffered her sickness and right leg became bigger and bigger. And she doesn't know what was the cause of her sickness. And when you prayed, the old man, the old woman said that she felt that her leg became likely to walk. Well, I know what he's talking about. Remember that person, she had this swollen you know, I don't know what it was. You know, I think back, you know, in Africa, they might have called this elephantiasis or something like that. You know, but in any case, she had this huge swollen leg, you know. And, you know, well, I said, you know, well, you believe the Lord can heal that? I said, you know, well, yeah. You know, I said, well, you know. We didn't back away from anything. Prayed for her right there and just said, you know, ask the Lord to take it, the swelling down and clear all the infection. And then next thing we know, you know, well, you know, she began to scream because she said, it feels lighter. Well, I tell you what, you know, I looked at it. I didn't see anything look lighter to me initially, but in my heart, I know the Lord healed her because I didn't even think about any of these healings. Just believe the Lord and just do it, you know. And but she began to shout that, you know, she felt, and she began to move the, you know, leg up and down and so forth like that, you know. And I think I saw her the next day or so, and she that leg was looking a lot better. How many of you say praise the Lord? Amen. I remember that. You know, now on the fourth night, we were in the village of La Fraternidad. Well, he said to Barry, there was a unique moving of the Holy Ghost because the people who attended was the young people of the village who was in bondage by the illegal drugs, alcoholism, and other vices. And when you invite them to receive Jesus Christ in their lives, they come and repent from the bondage of those vices. That was the village, and I remember this very clearly. And it seemed like all the young people, it was a small village, we went to many villages, and it seemed like all the young people, you know, came out and gave their lives to the Lord. It was so wonderful, you know, and I didn't know until something later, you know, that I read in this email. On the night of that crusade in municipality of Santiago, one of the unforgettable experience happened in the municipality was one of the leader of the illegal drug pusher. At the same time, he was also a user of illegal drugs. But during that night, he understood the word of God and felt the power of the word of God and touched his heart, and he began to repent and came and gave his testimony among many people, and especially all the young people who was here that night. He began to testify by himself of how God renewed him instantly. Now, I remember this testimony, and I didn't know it at the time until I read this email. I remember that night, I think it was probably the last night of the crusade. We were in this village, and so many young people there, and, you know, after preaching a very short message and asking them to come and receive the Lord into their lives, you know, initially, nobody responded to the altar call at all. And I was standing there and just looking. Because usually every night, before you even finish the call, they all jump up, you know, and they run down there. And this night, nobody did anything. So finally, this young man, he stood up, you know, and he walked down to the aisle, you know, to the front. And as soon as he stood up and he was in front, then all the people trooped out. And I was wondering, you know, and so he was standing there and I was standing right in the stage, you know, and then after we prayed and ministered to them and led them to, all of them to the Lord, because we had ushers there every night taking all their names and so forth. That's how we know the counts of the people that gave their lives to the Lord, you know. And after we did all of that, and I saw him and I was looking at him, and the Holy Ghost said, call him up on the stage. And I said, I never did that the whole crusade. Never. I mean, of course, you know, we called people, you know, that had testimony and so forth, I mean, from the healing, but never called anybody from the salvation line because there were so many. I called this young man. I said, come up. I said, young man, come up here. So he comes up to the stage and I give him the mic. I said, tell the people, you know, your testimony. And he said, rambled on in their language. I didn't hear a single word of what he said. But I asked the interpreter, what did he say? You know, he said, well, you know, you gave his life to the Lord or whatever and so forth. And so everybody shouted and praised the Lord, and we, you know. And then, now when I read the email, you know, he says that that young man was the leader of the drug ring. Illegal drug pusher was the leader, drug leader in that village. You see, you know. And I could see why nobody stood up when he was there. You know, And when he came out, then everybody came out. You know, and I was wondering what that was all about until I read the email. I didn't understand it. That young man was the drug leader, the ringleader of the drug thing they had going in that place. And he was the biggest drug pusher in that place. You say in the village? Yeah, sure. They were doing all of that. And he came out, and when the Holy Ghost asked me to bring him to the stage, I didn't even know any of that. I just brought him to the stage. And then, of course, see, because, and why that's significant is that when he was standing in front and people were standing behind him, you know, people in the back may not have seen him because, you know, they were all on the same level playing. But when he came out, when I asked him to come out and stood on the stage, then everybody saw him. And everybody knew him. And I didn't know any of this until I read this email. You know, and now listen to this part. That young drug pusher began to discourage all the illegal drug pushers and users and to avoid that kind of vice. And he encouraged them to repent and to give their life to Jesus, because he said that Jesus is the only answer of every problem we encountered in our lives. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, if that's the only reason why we went to that place, I think it was well worth it. And I guarantee you, that was not the only reason. There were hundreds like that every night. You know, so that's why I read all of those songs, just to give the glory and the praise to the Lord. Now, the Bible says, this gospel shall be preached. Now, if that's this gospel, not something that somebody thinks, but this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. And we want to thank the Lord for making us a part of that. Now, let me finish reading this. I haven't quite finished. It's a very long email. On Saturday, during the pastor's conference, I'm going to tell you about this in a minute. We never expect the number of pastors who are attending the conference, because you told me we just need 30 pastors, but at that time, but hallelujah, I am surprised and wondered when I saw the pastors coming, and they were about 82 coming. Now let me explain that. We had the pastors conference planned all along, you know, in the mornings and afternoons and then crusade in the evenings. Well, when I got there, I found that they had canceled a couple of the days of the pastors conference. And I said, why? They said, well, they didn't have enough money. Now those people, they don't come out to the conference unless you give them food. You know, you have to provide them transportation. And so those kind of concepts were kind of strange to me. We have to beg them to come. We have to provide them transportation. We have to give them food. You know, but that's just the way it was. You know, so anyway, they didn't have enough money to do all of that. You know, of course, we, GMI, sponsored all of this event. We paid for all of this. We sent money ahead to the villages and all of these things and so forth. But I guess they kind of ran out of money, and then they just cut down one or two of the days. And we were staying in this city called Butuan City. We flew into Manila, and then took another flight to Butuan City. And then we had to drive an hour into the villages from the Butuan City. And, you know, so I was asking them, why in the world are we not having a meeting here in this city? Because this city looks like a big city and so forth, and the other places are like villages inside and so on. And they said, well, you know, so anyway, they gave some excuses and so forth like that, you know, because, you know, they had just wanted us to come to those villages, which was fine. So I said, well, you know, I don't care about all that, but we're going to have at least one pastor's conference right here in this city that we're in. And they said, oh, how are we going to do that at this late notice? I said, I don't know. You know, just get word around. We're going to have a pastor's conference right here in this city before we leave. And so they said, well, you know, and he felt tremendous pressure to do that. And I said, well, do it. You know, we're going to do it. So I went to the hotel where we were staying, and I said, you guys have a conference hall there? I said, yes. I said, well, I want it on Saturday at such and such a time. So they said, well, you've got to have at least 30 people and so forth. And I said, well, that's okay. We'll have 30 people. So I told the pastor, I said, get me 30 pastors to come to this conference. I got to have at least 30 and make sure I have the names, because they won't give us this hall if we don't have 30 people. And of course, they provided food and all of that. So they began to go, and then we went to the mall, you know, that day to buy some film for the cameras and so forth. And as soon, you know, as soon as we walked into the mall, we ran into somebody. We were just by the phone there next to where we wanted to buy the movie. And he looked at us. There was a man, young man, and his dad. And they began to speak to Brother Roland. And we noticed that they had been to Africa and so forth like that. And then, you know, so they told us something. They told us something, and when we said that, we're trying to do this pastor's conference in your city, and do you know some pastors? He said, oh, yeah. So they sent us to a place where there was actually another thing going on that day, where we could meet some people. And so God made some connections that way. We went there, we met some people, we invited them to the conference. And then the pastors who were working with us, they went out and got a lot of people, text them and so forth like that. Anyway, we were expecting 30 people to show up. On that day, at the final count, we had 82.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What you say, is that significant? Yes, because that's more than everybody that's sitting here today. You know, maybe. You know, but, you know, the significant part of it was that during that impartation conference, he said, we saw a great revival among the pastors and leaders of the every churches. We experienced the unique impartation of the Holy Ghost, and they do go home, I'm reading it the way he wrote it, with a great change in their lives, and they never be the same. I'm just reading it the way he wrote it. And one member of the church came to me and said that she boldly shared to their church and their pastor that for the long time she has been longing for the invasion of the Holy Ghost in their church, and that conference, she really felt the joy and the Holy Ghost come upon her life. Now, I remember that lady. She was from the press. She actually had a press badge on. You know, and I brought one of the newspapers that she published. In fact, she was the one that actually published our advertisement in the newspaper, that particular newspaper. So she had a press badge. And so she came to me after the meeting and she said, wow. She said, this is exactly what we have been looking for in our churches. And she said, she's going to make bold to declare. Now, she's not a church leader or anything, but she's in the press. And she has some influence. And she said, she's going to make bold. And all the pastors and all the leaders, they were so full of joy. And believe it or not, you know, God was doing some incredible things even in the lives of the pastors. You know, some of them, I mean, this pastor that was working with us, unknown to us, before we went there, you know, the Holy Ghost had been moving on in his life. And I didn't even know all of these stories until we got there. He used to be a pastor of the Four Square Church in a big city. There's a place called Davao City in the Philippines. Very big city, probably one of the largest, probably even bigger than Manila. And he had about 600 people in his congregation. You know. And, you know, so, and the Holy Ghost would be telling him to do something. And every time he did it, you know, they'd clamp down on him and cite him and all kinds of things. And one day, you know, the Lord moved on his heart to go preach at his in a village. So he left his church and went to preach in a village. Many young people and so forth gave their lives to the Lord and received the Holy Ghost. When he came back, he got this big query from the church leadership and so forth. And then, you know, and they went about, you know, and this is what he told me, that this is what they did. You know, once they want to get rid of the pastor, they go about, try to get some signatures from the congregation, you know, to sign some complaint. So when he knew that they were doing that, he said, don't worry about it. Here's my resignation. Praise the Lord. And he left. And he didn't know anything at all about the dangers of some of these organized church systems. And he was just following the Holy Spirit, you know. And so when we got there, and I remember one of the meetings, you know, I just preached a short message on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I couldn't go there without preaching that anyhow. So when I preached that, the whole place, in fact, later on I asked the people, I said, did you understand? They said, yes. You know, And somebody told me, he said, in fact, he said, we've been taught all our life to believe in three gods. And I said, well, there is not enough room in this universe for two, let alone three. I mean, say amen. There is only one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot slice God up into three pieces and feed it to anybody. That's never going to work. You know, that's an attempt of the devil to diminish God. God. The Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And they understood that message and they jumped for joy. And then after that, we preached and challenged, you know, many of the leaders and so forth like that to wake up and listen to the Holy Ghost, you know, and so forth like that. Not be too worried about their wallets, you know. And this pastor that was helping us put this thing together, unknown to me, had actually quit this job where he was making a lot of money. And he had money paid to him. He had allowances for travel, for this and for that, and children allowance, wife allowance. Even his wife was a secretary in the church. He left all of that, had nothing. So he finally had to go look for a job on his own. And of course, that system didn't allow them to hold, you know, a secular job when they worked as a pastor. So when he left, he went and looked for a secular job as a mining supervisor. And that's when he moved to this village, you know, from where he called us. And it was when he got to the village, he saw there was such a huge need that he wanted some help. So that's how he reached out to us, and we went down there, you know. So that's how all of that story came about. And that Saturday, you know, even though we only challenged them here and there, and you know, a little here, a little there, a little, the next morning, which was Sunday, we were in a service, which was the final service. We had a joint service with many of the local churches that cooperated with the crusades and so forth. So we had a joint service, and unknown to me, I found out this after the service. The person that was leading the service, I didn't recognize him at all. So I asked, you know, he told me, and Pastor Joel, who was our contact there, he told me that fellow was in the pastor's conference the night before, and that he used to be in the Methodist church and so forth like that, and that he had come. Because we arrived there late that morning, not on our own account, but because we had to wait in the hotel. They came to pick us up. We didn't know anywhere, because they had to bring the vehicle, pick us up, and take us there. So we were waiting. So they arrived late, and we got there late. And this guy had come out before we got there, and had given our testimony of how the Lord delivered him from bondage of church systems because of the meeting we had the day before. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Well, some of you may not understand all of that, you know, but I tell you what, you know, it's a terrible thing, you know, to be bound by those church systems. See, they don't allow the Holy Ghost to move. And what they do is, you know, they have the creed and all of these things, what you can do and what you can't do. And Pastor Joel told me that, you know, every time he went out to preach, they would tell him, that's not in our bylaws. Can you believe that? I mean, and I said, what kind of it, you know? And before I started to say, Brother Roland said, well, you know, do you remember? And then I remembered. Because Brother Roland himself, he came out of that Four Square church back in the 70s. Then I remember all of the trouble we caused for that church, because I never was a part of any of the church systems, you know, back in those days. But, you know, this, you know, they just suppressed the Holy Spirit and so forth. Many of them got liberated. Anyway, let me finish this year. And during that time, all the pastors from different municipalities and cities, particularly Butuan City, for the first time experienced a great revival, especially in the city and their dying churches. Now, believe it or not, many of these pastors that came to these conferences did not even have the Holy Ghost. You know, and I'm like, you know, gee. Some of you have no business. You have no business even preaching the gospel. You better get a jug and some crackers and go into the bush somewhere and get a hold of God, because you know how can you give what you don't have? Amen. Yeah. You cannot give what you don't have. Peter says, "Such as I have, I give unto you." You know, you cannot give what you don't have, and that was a challenge to many of them. And of course, many of them came out and receive the Holy Spirit. Now, on Sunday, during the joint service, the Holy Ghost moved among all the people, especially the young people, when you preached not to ashamed. Let me just read it where he said it. When you preached not to ashamed to preach the gospel and let their light shine among the unbelievers, because of the young people here are ashamed to share the gospel toward their classmates and friends and are afraid to identify that they are believers. But praise be to Jesus, from that time now on, they understand, and God really changed their mindset to become boldly preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said a big hallelujah. Amen. And I remember that last joint service that he was talking about. I had preached that morning, and I invited all the young people to come out and stand up for Jesus, and I challenged them to be a testimony. And many of them were believers, but they were so timid. And I didn't know, in every meeting, crusade, or conference, or church service, I never prepared any sermon or what I was going to preach. I just went there and let the Holy Ghost tell me what to do. And I got there this morning, and the Lord said, just tell them to stand up for Jesus. So, so we preached on that, and we sang this song I've decided to follow Jesus and so forth. And there was a great moving of the Holy Spirit among all of the young people. And finally he said, Pastor Yato, I and my family giving you thanks for spending your precious time with us from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you so much for being a blessing to us, especially your teaching and powerful preaching that can change and touch our hearts. Because since the beginning, I personally heard and experienced the theme, Holy Ghost Invasion Philippines 2008. Now, that was what the Lord gave me, and I sent to him that I was going to be the title. That this revival is not only from Kabagaran, which is one of the cities that we went, but throughout the whole Philippines. The fire and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost is in us now. Amen?
Yeah.
And he said, we are really happy and grateful that we are a part of the Gospel Missions International, and now we are very happy to to start and spread the gospel and to heal the sick. Now we begin to win souls boldly.
Hallelujah.
We activate the word that you imparted to us.
Hallelujah.
And we really receive the fire of the Holy Ghost working in our hearts today. We are praying God will open the way for you to come back again and minister to us, all pastors in the island of Mindanao. Mindanao is one of the big three islands there and so forth. And, there are many things that we never forget. Even though a few things only we wrote here, but God knew everything you've done in our country, and you are a great, very great blessing to us. We love you, and we miss you always. Salamat. Salamat is one of the words I learned when I got there. It means thank you. Salamat. I always say salamat to Dios. It's like, thanks be to God. I said, what is this salamat, salamat you guys say all the time? So finally they told me it means thank you. So they put a big salamat here. How many of you say praise the Lord to all those testimonies? I think that letter says it all. Now one night, I don't know, I think it might have been the third night or second night, I forget. We divided the people into two groups because there were so many. And over here, I was ministering to the people with the Holy Ghost baptism. And then over here, Pastor Roland was ministering to the people for healings and stuff like that. And it was just absolutely incredible what the Lord did that night. I looked over one time, over the group, there were about, I don't even know, maybe 200 or more on this side who wanted the Holy Ghost. And there were so many people on the floor, just slain by the power of God. Just soaked in, and people, screaming and shouting and speaking in tongues and so forth. The first time power of God came in their lives. And I'd noticed that, as we prayed, as I prayed for and ministered to them to receive the Holy Ghost, many of them had this floating experience. It was incredible. They just floated away like that. And the next thing, I didn't push anybody down, Think anything about that, but they would just float so effortlessly, and they are gone. And of course, we had trained the ushers, how to handle that. And they would be there on the floor, and then many of them, I think I have a think I may have a clip of that in the video. And just like the power of God, many of the young people and the praise team that was helping us in this event, they came from a combination of two churches. All of them were there that night on the floor receiving the Holy Ghost for the first time in their lives. And it was just marvelous. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, let me share a couple of things as I close this out, these testimonies out. In the Bible, Paul. See, now one of the things that, you know, the Lord, when we started this ministry and so forth, you know, is told us, and we knew to do that also, is that we are based and built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. How many of you know that the scripture says that? In Ephesians chapter 2, say we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I've always known all my life that, you know, some of the things that happened in the early church and so forth before the church went away and did things their own way, you know, is the way that the Lord usually moves. And we saw that Paul and Barnabas, when they went and did all these things, they came back, see, and gave testimony and so forth. And, you know, Paul, he went about and did so many things, and God did so many things in the life of Paul. And some of the things, some of the places, every place that Paul went. And I'm going to give you some of these scriptures. I don't have time to read it all. I'm just going to give it to you and you can check it out. Every place that he went, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. This was in Antioch, where they were first called Christians. You know, everywhere he went, he gathered a group of people together and so forth, a body of Christ, and he started a church over there and did all of these things and so forth. Now, church is not a building. How many of you know that? I mean, I've been in some of these places where some of their buildings were not even very good when we went to the Philippines. But when the power of the Holy Ghost came, it was beautiful. Amen. The church is the assembly of believers. Has nothing to do with the building. Because the Most High does not dwell in building made with hands. I don't care how beautiful the building is and so forth. In fact, Jesus, they went about to show Jesus one time. He said, don't you see this beautiful building? And Jesus said, I tell you what, there is not one stone. Because he wasn't impressed at all. There's not one stone that will be not standing here that will not be cast down. He told them that it will be torn down. And it was. You know, so, you know. And Paul, he went about in Galatia, chapters 4, 11, and 19, chapters 4, verses 11 and 19. Galatia was one of those churches also that Paul, by the power of the Lord, put together there and so forth. Also Corinthians. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. You know, one time they challenged Paul about his apostleship, and he said to them, he said, well, if I'm not an apostle to any others, I'm definitely an apostle to you guys, because the fruit of my apostleship, you are in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 9, 5. And many of these churches and so forth, you know, that, and also Ephesians. These are some of the churches everywhere. Ephesians, you can read that in Acts chapter 19, in Ephesus. You know, all these places where Paul would spend some months and so forth and preach and gather the people and gather, so to speak, the harvest and get something going and all of that. And he worked very hard, you know, and every place he went, you know, he worked very hard to establish the gospel. And even some of the people like Titus and Timothy and so forth, they were some of his young converts, you know, which he later followed up to the gospel and so forth. You know, and all the great things that happened in the life of Paul, you know, he made sure that he followed up all of this, you know, with the people every time. Now, let me read one quick verse to you here. I'm going to close this in a few minutes. In Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, now, There were a number of things that had happened, you know, where Paul had gone out with Barnabas and so forth, and they came back. They gave a testimony in Acts chapter 14, verses 26 to 28. They came back and gave a testimony of all that happened. It says, you know, they went to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, they gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them, just like we did today. And so this is scripture. And how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles and so forth. And then in Acts chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix. Sounds like Phoenix, doesn't it? They passed through Phoenicia, you know, Phoenix and Samaria. It sounds like Phoenix. Declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. That's Acts 15 and verse 3, just like we're doing here this morning. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church of the apostles, and they declared all the things that God had done, you know, with them and so forth. You know, so they did all of that, you know, to the glory of God. And chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days afterwards, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit all the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Amen?
Amen?
So that is the scriptures, you know, when they went out and preached and so forth, they went back and made sure that all of those churches and so forth that started out of their preaching and so forth, you know, that they, you know, they would continue in the gospel. And Paul would write to many of them. He wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to the Galatians, he wrote to the Ephesians, you know, many of these things and so forth that he did and so forth. The Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Amen? Praise God. Now, when we went into these places, there were some places that we went deep in the villages and so forth, and literally hundreds of people. And this place that's called Kabadbaran City, there were literally hundreds of people that gave their lives to the Lord, you know, just like sheep having no shepherd. And unknown to me, this same Pastor Joel that was walking with us from the beginning, you know, God had spoken to him in his heart before we ever came there, that he was going to move from the village that he was in now, and he was going to move to Kabadbaran City after the crusade and gather all of the converts and start a new church, you know, and so forth. And I didn't know anything about it, you know, and so on. So one day, you know, I think it was probably on the fourth or fifth day, and I was saying, man, what are you guys going to do with all of these souls that have been coming to the Lord, you know, and all this, you know, how are we going to make sure? Because every night what we did was, you know, for some of the participating churches, you know, every night they would announce the churches where they were and try to make sure that the converts that were close to them went to churches in those places, and we told the ushers to get their names and so forth. There were a number of people there in this Kabadbaran city, you know, that they didn't know where they were going to go to church and so forth like that. God moved in the heart of this man, and he went, and he said, you know, he mentioned to me, you know, that the Lord had spoken to him about it, and I said, well, gee, you know, and all that. So, you know, I went to pray about it, and then that night, and I got up, and the Lord had spoken to me throughout the whole night. Hardly I could sleep. And then I went for a walk that morning, as I always did. And went down that street, and the next thing I know, here comes the Holy Ghost. Boom, right in my face. And I've had that experience a few times. You know, I had it once when I went to Hawaii. I was trying, you know, preparing for a message, then I would preach in the house fellowship. And I had that experience. And I had this experience again, walking down that street, you know, and you just walking down that street early this morning, and boom, here comes the cloud and the Holy Spirit, and he begins to talk directly to me. And then I said, wow, you know. And the next thing I know, the Lord, he told me exactly what we need to do, make sure that those souls remain in the kingdom. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. How many of you say praise the Lord? Well, Pastor Joel, you know, he moved I believe, you know, he moved to Kababaran City, and he said, well, he said, I'm going to go and start this new church, and we're going to call it GMI. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't tell him about that, you know. So I went to pray about it. I said, Lord, well, I don't know about this, you know, because I didn't come here to start no church, you know. And the Lord said, yep, you know. And then, you know, and then he showed me, you know, walking down that street that day morning. And boy, and I came back. And I said, I told Brother Roland, you know. He said, why are you so fired up? I said, well, because the Lord just spoke straight to me. I told him some of the things. And this morning, they are actually 15 hours ahead. I don't know if any of you know it. Those of you who were in the final prayer meeting before I left, I told you they were 15 hours ahead, and I kind of prepared. And I want to thank all those people that stood in the gap and prayed that long prayer chain for us all that time. They are 15 hours ahead. They have already concluded their Sunday service morning. So I actually talked to him last night. They had already finished their Sunday service. And he told me they had their first Sunday service gathering all some of those souls in the new GMI church. Praise the Lord. Well, and I said, wow, you did that already? He said, yeah, you know. And of course, you know, and they, you know, of course, you know, the because the crusade and all of that and had visibility and so forth, he gathered. And I said, how many people were in the... Because he told me they're expecting about 10 to 15 that he was just going to start. He moved to this small place and they're going to use the first part of it as the church. And he said, how many, you know, how many people are going to, you know, be there? And he said, well, you know, if we can get... And I asked him yesterday, he said, well, when I counted, I had 47 people. Praise the Lord. And he said, well, he said, and that's because we didn't have any of the signs up that we wanted to have up, and we're going to go after and get all those souls. And I said, wow. And I traced down the scriptures, and I saw that, well, every place, you know, that they had ministered to all of these souls, they gathered them together, you know, started a fellowship or some church or whatever, made sure that those souls were not lost. And I told Pastor Joel before I left, I said, let me tell you something. The difference between GMI and traditional denominational churches, just in case you don't know. I said, the problem with traditional denominational churches is they have a reporting hierarchy. You know, when the church in Phoenix reports to the church in Houston and all of these things and so forth like that. And I said, well, I don't believe in any part of that. You know, every pastor must be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as long as you are led by the Holy Ghost and all of that, you know, then that's fine with me. Of course, we'll support everything that you want to do, you know, and get you started and so forth like that. And then we'll, you know, and of course, they know what we believe, you know, and all that and so on. So we want to give the Lord the praise and the glory for all that He has done. And He has even gone beyond, see, everything that we ever thought, you know. And I said, well, you know, wow. You know, and the Lord did not call it Gospel Missions International for nothing. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, in case some of you are new or you don't know all about it, our mission here in this church is first the gospel. Amen. That's our first and primary mission, is the gospel. You know, not what somebody thinks we should be doing. What God sent us to do is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are going to preach that gospel. And if it takes us to the uttermost ends of the earth, then we are going to do it. Amen. And I've also noticed in this church that God usually sends us to the less privileged, people who are homeless or whatever and so forth like that. It seems like that's the ministry that He has called us into, and we gladly accept it. So we've gone to the villages, and some of these big name ministries, they've never touched those villages by a milepole. You know, they stay in Manila and some of these big cities. They've never gone down there. And these big names, I don't want to mention any names, they've been in the Philippines many times, but they only go to Manila with their huge multi-million dollar campaigns. But they never go down to these villages. But God, He sent us down there because He died for those people too. Amen. And we have the harvest, and every one of you that contributed, either by financial support or by your prayers and so forth, all of that will go to your account in heaven. Praise God. And that was just the first. It is not the last. Amen. But we already have another one planned in South Africa that we're working on right now. That will be in Tanzania. And it came about just very similar, the same way. And they said, come over and help us. We're working on that. That's going to be sometime in September. You know, so you'll be praying about that and so forth like that. They've already promised us that in those meetings over there, we will be able to get about 200 to 500,000 souls. Because they said that's the way it is when you come to meetings over here in Dar es Salaam. You know, hundreds of thousands of people literally come out. Oh, and I said, wow, you know, that's going to be something to see all those people come to the Lord. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise.
Let's stand to our feet and give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, we are not doing this to be seen or to be known. I couldn't care less about that. Amen. This is for the glory of God. In fact, you can check our website at gmiministries.org and we put it right there. It's all about Jesus. And what we are doing is for the kingdom of God and for the gospel to be put out. And Paul and everybody else in those early years, they knew it and we know it. We must listen to God rather than men. How many of you say amen to that? So what we are doing is what the Holy Ghost is sending us to do. We cannot try to do what God sent somebody else to do. Let them do whatever God sent them. We are doing what God has sent us to do. So I want to make sure everybody understands that. In case you have any questions, you know, that's we're doing exactly what the Lord has sent us to do. And the Bible says there is joy in heaven over one soul that gives his life to Christ. And we had hundreds every single night, not counting the miracles, and not counting many, many of those pastors that are delivered from all of that. And as I explained to that young man, I said, we are not trying to create a hierarchy here. Now, actually, the idea came from him, you know, and so forth. And I said, we are not in the business of doing that. You know, so, you know, we are glad that you want to do that, be a part of GMI and so forth like that. But, you know, we do things differently than those traditional churches, you know, and so forth like that. You must be led by the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to be going about telling you every day how to do your business in the ministry and, you know, control you from day to day like they're doing those things. We don't do any part of that. You know, the Holy Ghost leads them and so forth like that. You know, but we are glad that they want to be a part of the ministry. And, you know, that's one way that ministry is expanding worldwide. We give the Lord the praise and the glory for that. Let's wave our hands and just praise Him. And everybody say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just before we close the service, we never want to close any service without giving people a chance to give their lives to the Lord. I know this was a different service because we were just reporting all of the things, but I'm sure that you got something out of it still because we read many scriptures and it's all scriptural. But we want to give somebody a chance. If you need something from the Lord today before we close this service, the same God that did all those miracles in the Philippines, He is here today.
Amen.
And He'll do the same for you.
Amen.
And as I sing this song, if you need a miracle, you know, just step out boldly. It won't take 5 minutes. Just bear with me another 5 minutes. Let's help some people here today before we close this service. When I sing this song, I want you to come out and receive your healing or whatever it is that you need from the Lord. I saw it every night in that place, you know, and so forth like that, and the Lord will do it again. And if I can have the praise team come up and help me with this song. I am going to sing, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and healed your diseases. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's not that song. And the song is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I've sent my word and healed your diseases. I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I've sent my word and healed your diseases. I am the Lord your healer. Now if you need healing, as you sing this song, I want you to come out and receive the healing. Don't just come for prayer, come to receive your healing. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I have sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you need any kind of deliverance, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever, he's right here. Now you come and receive your healing. Lord, your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I've sent my word and healed your diseases. I am the Lord, your healer. He is the Lord, he is the Lord that healeth thee. He is the Lord, your healer. Sent his word and healed your diseases. He is the Lord. You are the Lord. You are the Lord that healed me. Come on, receive your healing. You are the God, my healer. You sent your word. Sent your word and healed my diseases. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the Lord, my healer. All over this audience, claim your healing. You are the Lord that healed me. You are the Lord, my healer. Sent your word and healed your diseases. You are the Lord, my God. Is this sister here coming for prayer? Are you out here for prayer? Come on. No? Come on, continue singing.
We have been waiting yesterday, so praying for the Almighty God. Heal him, open up his lungs.
Amen. The young boy needs healing. He's been having some problems since yesterday in his chest. We are going to ask the Lord to open his lungs and his chest so he can breathe and heal him completely. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, the Lord is the one that healed this young child. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open his chest, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let him breathe, Lord. Clear his lungs. Clear his throat. Clear the nasal tract, Lord. And deliver him, Lord. And clear the congestion. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And put your hand upon him, Lord. He said, let the little children come unto God, for of such is the kingdom of God. Father, Lord, we rebuke this sickness and command it to depart from this child. And let the name of Jesus set him free. Take down even the temperature, Lord, and the feverish feeling that is, oh Lord, we thank you. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Losing his lungs, his throat, his chest, and let him breathe in Jesus' mighty name. Clear it up, Lord. Oh, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You are the Lord that healeth me. Everybody sing it and claim it for your healing. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord. You are the Lord, my healer. Sing it again. You are the Lord. You are the Lord that healeth me. My healer, you sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being counted worthy to be part of those that publish the word of God. Even as the scripture has said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to take the gospel to those poor villages. And many of them gave their lives to the Lord. We saw salvation every night. We saw drug dealers and different people giving their lives to Christ. We saw knowledge of the Holy Spirit coming to the lives of the pastors, the young people, and everybody. And we have returned to give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. As we close the service, I want everybody to sing this with me. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for what he has done, because he's given us Jesus Christ, his Son. Help me with that. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the living one. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, he is enough. And now let the weak say, let the sick say, I'm healed. Sick say, I'm healed because of what the Lord. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick say, I am healed because of Father, we give thanks with a grateful heart. We give you thanks for what you have done. When we were weak, we know that we are strong in you. When we were poor, we know that we are made rich in you. When we were sick, we know that we've been healed in you. We give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. And all the church said, let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Praise God. Praise God. Give him a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus.